Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton. You can find him at Misto Christopho. We are here to bring you the second part of our roster breakdown series. We last talked about the quarterbacks. That one went about as fun as you thought it would. And now we're going to have even more fun, and we're going to talk about the running backs. Chris, are you excited to talk about Leonard Fournette?
I haven't been.
Or Carlos Hyde. Or Jamal Charles.
Rip.
Or David Williams.
Hey.
TJ Yeldon.
I'm excited for David Williams. And TJ Yeldon, I'd be okay with.
Or Brandon Wilds.
Jesus. We've had a lot of running backs.
Yeah, and all of them suck.
Don't forget Corey Grant.
Oh, God, yeah, you're right. I even forgot one. Well, let's go ahead and get to it. I asked you in our last episode, expectation level to what happened. One word to describe that feeling.
Well, let's see. Last episode I
don't use misled.
Last episode I used misled.
You can use disappointed.
I can use disappointed this time, but I'm also like, I'm not surprised, really.
Disappointed, but not surprised.
Sure, disappointed, but when you already think a running back is bad, you don't have high hopes. So I'm going to say, this is tough because I want to use a phrase, but I can only use one word. I don't know.
You can use hyphens. Make it one word.
I'm just going to say not surprised. Really,
I thought
everything went right for Leonard Fournette. You know, old no eyes can't find a hole. Leonard Fournette, old fumbling Leonard. I don't think he really has a fumbling problem. But yeah, I'm not surprised. Everybody should know by now. I've been against the Leonard Fournette pick leading up to the draft. I booed on draft night when he was drafted. Nothing against Leonard the guy. I just hated Leonard the player. I didn't think he translated to the NFL at all. I thought when people said he was the next Adrian Peterson, I thought that was asinine. He shouldn't have been drafted top 5. He shouldn't have been drafted top 10. In hindsight, top 20. But, I mean, we're stuck with him. Well, maybe not for long. We could talk about that later. But I'm not surprised that a running back that I thought was not very good, who I thought was injury prone, everybody was like, oh, those were minor injuries. Yet those are the injuries that have been holding him out. The guy that seems to, you know, have a dumb suspension every year now. That's 2 years in a row. Granted, it's only been one each, but, you know, a trend starts with one. I'm not surprised. I wasn't expecting a whole lot. Last year, or 2017, was a fantastic year for him, but I also think a lot of things led into that. I think it was just kind of luck in a way. So that's just my whole take on it. The not surprised from a Leonard Fournette perspective. I was expecting a little more from the other guys, but with the injuries and stuff all around, it happens. So that's just my two cents.
See, for me, I did have high hopes because when I looked at things in the offseason and I wrote that article about yards per carry being overblown and you looked at what they wanted to do on offense, and I saw a lot of potential coming out of Fournette's first year. I thought he was better than a lot of people tried to say he was. And when he came in, you know, looking faster, a little bit more agile, a little skinnier, not skinnier, but I mean, like he lost a little bit of weight. I was excited. I thought he was becoming a little bit more complete. So I was incredibly disappointed by it. And it makes me like, I don't even want to say disappointed in the other guys because none of the other running backs should have mattered this year. Mm-hmm. It was all about Fournette. And the dude sucked. And the dude was, I mean, you have to assume he was really soft at the end of the day. The Carlos Hyde trade, you now look at it. Yeah, it's in hindsight or whatever, but you can't look at it and think that it was anything other than a message to Fournette. Like, players don't normally take 8 weeks to recover from a freaking hamstring injury. Like that's just not normal. That doesn't happen unless it's like fully torn, like from top to bottom. it doesn't take that long to recover from a pulled hamstring. So you got to think that the dude's a bit soft with all the injuries he's had.
But I was told in the pre-draft process that he was tough because he threw that one guy in the LSU versus, I think it was Ole Miss game or whatever. He threw a guy. He was on his back. I was told he was tough.
You need to stop talking to those type of people.
All right, Jags fans. See you later.
But, I mean, yeah, that's my thing is that the way the media also put him out there, like he came off as like this arrogant dude who like it was all about himself. He was very reserved in a sense that like he didn't want to open up about stuff. Like I think he was soft. I think he didn't want. I don't know the best way to put this without crossing any lines, but I mean he was all about himself. He did things on his own time, and I think the team got sick of it. That's why they went after Carlos Hyde and tried to do so many different things with the running back position because they were just sick of the idea of him being as soft as he appeared to be. And Tom Coughlin certainly was fed up with him by the end of the season. But, I mean, my expectation was for him to have more than 4 yards a carry with an improved line, look to have better vision, which we saw – also more agility in the preseason with that cut he had against Atlanta. That's where I thought it was there. I thought things were clicking completely for him. I thought he was going to significantly boost his stats. I thought he was going to go like 1300 plus. I thought he was going to break the 10 touchdown mark. I thought they were going to double down on what they did on offense and do it well. I thought it was going to be resetting the trends, and we'll talk about exactly what happened instead when we come back from these messages.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. For you and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid.
Spoiler alert. Whatever they wanted to do with Fournette at running back did not happen. If you did not watch the Jags this past season, now you know. I mean, Fournette missed so much time. All the guys, like Yeldon, started off pretty good, but by the end of the year, wasn't looking nearly as good as he was to start the season and had a bummy attitude, if you couldn't tell by the end of the year in that Houston game. They brought in Jamal Charles. He was here a whole like 3 weeks thinking that he could help this team win a Super Bowl. They traded for Carlos Hyde, sent a fifth-round pick. That turned into $5 million nearly on their 2019 cap table that they, I'm like guaranteeing they're going to release him and try and clear that cap space. They signed David Williams from the Broncos practice squad, and he might have been the only glimmer of hope that this running back group has, and he's going to be like the third running back next year if he's even here. Brandon Wilds, he had like a decent preseason that put him on the practice squad and was called up when Fournette got hurt. Pretty sure his first career carry was a fumble. Did not last very long. He did not go back to the practice squad. I'm pretty sure he's a walking street free agent. Corey Grant tore his Liz Frank. I don't think he's going to be back. He was on a 1 year tender. That's not the type of injury that running backs recover well from with the agility and the, especially a back like Grant, who's a one cut guy and has to plant that ankle. I don't think he's going to be back. I mean, Liz Frank is what ruined MJD's career.
Mm-hmm. It's a running back killer.
Yeah, exactly. So all in all, I'd say definitely did not live up to their expectations.
Yeah, not by any means. I mean, as a whole, you were expecting at least some competence, but you didn't have a 100-yard rusher this year. So that, I mean, that, and that's like Detroit Lions from like 2008 to like this past year.
Right.
You have 7 total rushing touchdowns, 5 from Fournette. Most of those were probably from like the 2-yard line.
Right.
TJ Yeldon never really, they never put him into the offense like they should have. And I think that's where one of the most disappointing things was, is you had a guy that was really talented in that aspect, and Nathaniel Hackett and the offense failed to use him correctly. So right.
He was averaging 5.7 yards per touch through the first like 5 games of the year.
Yeah, and they just, they never used him. Carlos Hyde was, that was probably the biggest disappointment, honestly. Like, I was kind of excited when they made that trade. I was like, okay, because Carlos Hyde was like solid in the past, San Francisco, and you know, they
even
were,
in Cleveland, he wasn't that bad. It's just their hand was forced. They had to feed Nick Chubb.
Yeah, and then he came here and was an absolute train wreck. He averaged the same yards per attempt as Leonard Fournette with 3.3. And you just can't have that. There were some flashes where, like, okay, Carlos Hyde's starting to get a little going, and then he died off again. So it was like, damn it. And then David Williams, I thought, this is kind of misleading because he only had 36 rushing yards, but in that one game that he was in, you know, he was looking kind of promising. We're like, okay, we got this guy off the practice squad from Denver. Let's see what he can do. And then I'm not even going to mention Brandon Wiles and Jamal Charles because they both amassed for like 22 yards combined. So those guys were never really used. So I think most of the disappointment and how they were at the top was just that you had a 400-yard rusher in Fournette, you had a 400-yard rusher in Yeldon, and you had a just under 200-yard rusher in Carlos Hyde. So all together, actually, now looking at it, Blake Bortles was about 50 yards away. No, sorry. 40 was 70 yards away from being the team's leading rusher. That's where we were at in the season. He had 365 rushing yards this year, and Leonard Fournette was leading rusher with 439. So if you need a stat to describe the Jaguars' rushing game this year, that is it.
So he'd be, and I guess this can be more of a topic in the whole what they should do at running back, but curious, should they make Blake Bortles the highest paid running back in the NFL and have him change positions to finish out his contract?
I mean, he's averaging 6.3 yards per attempt. So he has 20. Oh, wait, sorry. Yeah. He had 28 rushes that resulted in, wait, that can't be right. I was going to say he had 28 rushes that resulted in first down. Yep, he had 28 first downs, which I don't even know how that's possible. Oh, okay. He had 18 designed runs and 40 scrambles, but he had 28 first downs with his legs. So that would have been number one on the team.
Wait, that's really telling. He only had 18 designed runs.
18 designed runs, 40 scrambles.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, maybe, I don't know.
I mean,
man.
we saw in points this past year, if they would have called read options, like, what game was it?
It would have worked.
What was it? Was it the Philly game or something? That if they would have called a read option, he would have had like a first down. If not, it would have been like an easy touchdown or something like that.
Something like that.
It was towards the beginning of the year where the season wasn't just lost yet, and a win would have kind of catapulted you back towards 500. I think it was somewhere in there where it's just like, what are they doing? You know, you call a read option and Blake Bortles has 30, 40 yards to close it out. So, but yeah, no, 18 design runs, 40 scrambles.
Right. That's actually pretty crazy because we knew that they needed to start running the ball with Blake more. That was one of the things, like you said, he did most effectively. So, but I mean, hey, they could just move him over to running back and make him, like I said, the highest paid running back in the NFL. When we come back, we are going to talk about what the Jaguars need to do at the running back position this offseason in order to fix it. Today's episode of Locked On Jaguars is brought to you by A1 Sliders. Are you one of hundreds of coastal Northeast Florida homeowners who struggle every day to open and close your sliding glass door? Why spend all the money it takes to replace your sliding glass door when Tony and the gang at A1 Sliders could save you money and repair your door for you? A1 Sliders is licensed and insured. They offer free estimates, upfront pricing, and will help you save on heating and cooling costs in your home from leaky sliding glass doors. And at A1, your schedule comes first. A1 Sliders is a fan of the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and in partnering with us, they will give you $25 off of any repair you order, no limit. Just mention Locked On Jaguars before getting your repairs done. Call A1 Sliders now for your free sliding glass door repair estimate at 386-538-6835. Or check out their website at www.a1sliders.com. That's 386-538-6835 and www.a1sliders.com. And don't forget to mention Locked On Jaguars for $25 off of any repair you order. A1 Sliders, licensed and insured, LLC, covers the Jacksonville area from Fernandina Beach through New Smyrna Beach, based out of Palm Coast, Florida. Contact for more details on location and any questions you may have. Chris, would you keep Leonard Fournette around, or would you move on from his deal?
Absolutely the frick not. Leonard Fournette, I'm shipping him to whatever team wants to send me the highest pick, whether that be a third or fourth. You clear his cap, you free up a roster spot. I mean, just looking down the list, the only running back you're going to have left might be David Williams and maybe Brandon Wilds on like a whatever a practice squad deal. So you have one running back coming back, and honestly, that's okay. Leonard Fournette should be gone. Like I said, he should have never been here in the first place. TJ Yeldon will be gone. He will get some good money in free agency, or at least I think. Carlos Hyde will probably not sign day one or two. He'll probably be kind of a consolation running back pick to somebody who wants a committee. Corey Grant might get a deal, depending on that injury. If anything, Jacksonville might be his best option if he comes healthy, because the team already kind of knows him. So it wouldn't surprise me if later in the offseason Corey Grant comes back if he's healthy and they need to fill out the roster. So Leonard Fournette should not be gone. This should be an entirely new running back room, which is fine because maybe they'll actually have a modern running back room compared to a 1970s power back and a somewhat modern TJ Yeldon. But, you know, get a guy like TJ Yeldon who can catch the ball but is also already your speed guy in Corey Grant.
Now, what would you do the position in terms of bringing in talent? Are there free agents that you would want to go after in the draft? Where do you think the highest point is that they should address the position if they are to draft someone, which I believe they will? What would you do? Because I mean, I think there's guys you could sign. It depends on really either you land an all-world talent for a lot of money or you don't spend a dime until you get to like the third or fourth wave of free agents.
I think free agency, that's probably the latter. You do, because I mean, what big running backs are out there? I feel like, you have Le'Veon.
But would you sign Le'Veon?
That's a hard question. With the current cap room, no.
Well, assume that they do all the assume in a situation where everyone talks about what they can do to clear cap and sign Nick Foles. Would you use that money on Le'Veon instead?
Le'Veon is an all-world talent, and I think he immediately makes your offense better. However, what you're giving up cap-wise to get him, because sure, you might be able to clear all this money just to get Le'Veon. You still have guys like Jalen Ramsey, Yannick Ngakoue, Miles Jack that need to get paid. And if you are jeopardizing possibly not paying one or two of them to get Le'Veon, I don't think they do it. I don't think you should. The year in and year out, we are seeing prime examples of great running back talent falling to day two or day three of the draft, and you're paying them pennies to have them on your team for 4 years. Compared to a guy like Le'Veon, who you're probably going to be giving, what, 40 probably guaranteed? That's what I think Todd Gurley got, and Le'Veon's going to want damn near that, if not more, because he feels like he's a better talent. So, I don't know. I'm probably leaning no, because I know there's much better value that you can get for your buck in the draft and just for longevity purposes.
I also think that he's fresh right now because he didn't play this past year and he missed some time last year because of, you know, holding out. And when you look at Le'Veon Bell, you can argue him as the best running back in the league as a runner, and you could possibly argue him as one of the better receivers in the NFL. I kid you not. Not, I mean, not like top five, but for running back standards, easily the best receiving running back. And I think you could genuinely find a way to talk him into that, like, top-ish 30 receivers, which is means that they're wide receiver ones for certain teams who aren't. He might be the best receiver in Jacksonville if you sign him.
Wow, that's some disrespect to Didi.
Hey, I'm the biggest Didi fan there is, but, like, Le'Veon is that good. And the pass protector Le'Veon as well. Like, he's the most, like, I think he's the best running back that the NFL has seen in a bit. Mm-hmm. I genuinely do, because of every single thing
he does. There is no doubt in my mind that he would instantly make this offense better. He's only 26, and when you're drafting a guy, you're drafting, especially a pass-catching back, you're trying to draft Le'Veon. So what better than to get Le'Veon? It's just a matter of how much does it hurt you in the future to get a guy like Le'Veon now? That's the options that you have to weigh.
But if, I don't know, like, Nick Foles is going to want at least 20.6.
Well,
because that's his option. And Le'Veon's probably going to, I get the guaranteed thing, but Le'Veon's, I feel like you can probably front load that this year.
Good quarterbacks come around a lot less than good running backs do. So that's
Do Le'Veon Bells come walking through your door?
No, that's the thing. You are getting a generational talent, so I would not, if they signed him, I'm not going to be opposed to it, like, unless they obviously, like, absolutely give him an asinine deal. But it's not going to be, if I woke up on the first day of free agency and I saw the Jaguars sign Le'Veon Bell, I'd be ecstatic. I would be like, let's go. Like, okay, you just got whatever rookie quarterback you get, you just got them an all-world talent. So I'm obviously not going to be opposed to it. I'm just weighing the options of, are there better options, both financially and just along those lines.
And this is really so far-fetched, I don't even know why we're talking about it, but I mean, I guess, like, there is an argument whether Jags should or shouldn't go after Le'Veon Bell and dump Fournette. Draft wise I mean, what would you do?
I'm probably not touching a running back before at least the third round. The first two rounds for me are designated for a quarterback and offensive line. Whatever order you do it, it should be quarterback then O-line. But if they really like an O-line guy like Cody Ford, and then they feel like they really like a guy in Greer in the second, so be it. But the first two rounds should be O-line, should be right guard specifically, and quarterback. So that should be the first two rounds. The third round is where you can kind of get around. That's where you can start kind of going best available player, sort of. Like, if there's a really good receiver that's fallen with your first third round pick, take it. Or if there's another really good O-lineman, maybe like Richardson, you might not have a whole lot of faith in. Well, obviously I'm not saying that they don't, but if another guy falls that, you know, you just got to snag, go for it. If there's a running back, you know, like a Henderson, a Rodney Anderson, you know, those kind of guys that you have probably high grades on that somehow fell, you go for it. So I think the third round is where the sweet spot starts for me for running backs, because you can find those kind of niche guys later in the draft, but you're going to really kind of start losing talent beyond the third round, because you saw the Alvin Kamaras, you know, the Joe Mixon went in the second, but a lot of good running back talent comes in day two, and I think that's where really I would be opposed to them taking a guy earlier than the third round.
Yeah, I think that you're right, and they're lucky to have that second, third round pick, assuming they don't move up or send any of their picks away, in which case I would contemplate it at going to be like 96 through 100 probably, just based on whatever happens with Los Angeles. I would contemplate it there, especially if a Devin Singletary fell to me there. But if not, I think they're going to be later round guys too. I'm a big Karen Higdon fan from Michigan, was at the Senior Bowl, looked really elusive, a one-cut guy that's got enough, despite his size, I think he's got enough ability to play in between the tackles. They're going to be utility guys out there, but it also all depends on what they do with Fournette. And I think that should just about do it for us here today. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already to the Locked On Jaguars podcast. Just about anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can find us. Next up, wide receivers. We'll catch up with you guys tomorrow.